Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report, where I cover stock market investing through the millennial lens. It's not your dad's stock market, certainly not your granddad's. There's more information coming at you from all angles. And it's hard to sift through that information. And what I try to do every day at 12 o'clock is share with you information coming off of our trading desk that we're actually using to execute and manage capital. And it focuses on the interaction between fundamental analysis in the stock market and millennial execution. It's the execution part that we're really working on here, trying to help educate you, because the world is different post-2008. I got a lot of things to get to today, so I can't explain to you right now why the world's different post-2008. I would suggest you go to the website, rosenthalcapital.com, and look at the podcast. They're all there. Go back and click on the ones that talk about that. We got way too much to talk about today. Today's day four of the change in risk exposure. We've been holding your hand through this market collapse really for the last 13 trading days. And I'm going to continue to do it. I'm trying to share with you information that's been hard fought here on our trading desk. I've been doing this over 30 years. We've built our own proprietary algorithms to help us execute in the millennial market, both intraday algorithms and multi-day algorithms, and I'm going to discuss them with you. And the first takeaway for new listeners, I want to say thank you for the new listeners. We doubled our listenership in the last week. So everybody who's new, thanks for showing up and listening, giving me an opportunity to help you out. I appreciate it. Let's go over how you can use this show to help you manage your risk. Don't forget Armor Report. Armor stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. That's our focus here. We're managing risk. So you can still do your fundamental analysis. You could still find your favorite themes and stocks to invest in, but then use us as a source to manage your risk. And so the first stop is to look at five big indexes, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ 100, small cap index, and the mid cap index. When all five are a green light, have at it. Put capital to work. Have fun. When you start to see the green light turn to red, 13 days ago, we were on this show saying, look, our algorithms are telling us to be out of the small cap index. We've made a lot of money throughout the year in small caps. Our algorithm said it's time to be out of the small caps and the mid caps. And just to recap, 13 days ago was also 9% ago. So in other words, these indexes, big indexes, have dropped over 9% in 13 trading days. So if you're using the Armor Report to help you manage risk, 13 days ago, you were raising cash in your portfolio. Now, I can't tell you how much cash to raise. That's up to you. You have to figure out how aggressive of an investor you want to be. Some guys are on one end of the spectrum and they're very aggressive, and so they start to get sell signals and they end up shorting. Some guys can do that. Other guys say, I'm a buy and holder. I don't want to mess with my portfolio. Well, I ask you today to reconsider that buy and hold theory. The S&P itself is only up 2% now on the year. You can do better by using the algorithms and managing your risk correctly. So 13 days ago, we were saying it's time to raise cash. This run is getting dangerous. And then 3 days ago, go back and look at rosenthalcapital.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. You'll see all of our podcasts. 3 days ago, I was pounding the table saying we are out of the NASDAQ 100. Defend capital. Big cap tech is in trouble. Big cap tech is down more than 5% from that call in 3 days. And these are indexes. So you know, looking at your portfolio, if it's a portfolio full of individual stocks, you're down a lot more than that in the last 3 days. You're down a lot more than 9% if you have a portfolio full of small caps. Because we're talking about the big indexes. Individual names usually suffer a lot more. We were out of the Dow at 264 on DIA, symbol DIA. 264 was the price. Came on the show and I said, look, time to get out of Dow stocks. That was on the 10th in the morning, yesterday. Tweeted it out. Hit our stop first thing in the morning, 264. Put a tweet out. Follow me on Twitter. Hashtag Armor Report. Or at Brett Rosenthal, whichever you prefer. Yesterday in the morning, we were out of the Dow, 264 and change. Market has dropped, as you know, more than 4% from that price now. So there's two examples. There's one where we told you 13 days ago it's time to start getting defensive. And then one even more aggressive where we say, look, you got to get out this morning. That was yesterday morning. The market's plummeting. Save you money if you're still holding on. And the same thing's true about the S&P. Now, we got stopped out completely of our S&P position yesterday at the close. But we talked on the 5th when we were getting out completely of our NASDAQ 100 names that we had gotten our position on our trading desk into a reduced exposure position in the S&P. That was the last man standing, and we had a small position in it. So we had profits that we'd booked, and we had a small position left in the S&P. And, of course, that got taken out at the end of the day yesterday. So there's an example of how the Armor Report can help you manage your risk. And so instead of being surprised by the weakness today or in fear because the weakness is so aggressive and not knowing what to do, so now you're frozen as an investor, what you could have been doing the last 13 days is raising cash. And so now you're in a position, A, there's no emotion really tied to it because you've got a lot of cash. So the lower the market goes, the better the opportunities to get long again. So what the algorithms help you do, and I always talk about this, it's get rid of emotion. Stop making decisions based on fear and greed and make them based on reward versus risk. When the reward is no longer enough for the risk being taken, you have to start reducing positions. Get us on the right side of statistics and probabilities, and we'll outperform over time. That's what the algorithms do. Okay, let's get to what we're doing today on the trading desk. First of all, important to note, all the major indexes are at or below the 200-day moving average. We haven't seen that opportunity in a long time in the market. So it would be normal for the indexes to bounce from here. I'll have you know that our intraday algorithmic trading tool has yet to get long today. It doesn't mean that you can't make money day trading, but what our algorithms are designed to do is put us on the right side of statistics and probabilities when reward versus risk is correct. And at the moment, we're not willing to put trades on in this market. The algorithm is not willing to put trades on, day trades on this market. There will be opportunities. And our algos will get them. But right now, I think it's important to say that, put that out there. I know a lot of people are trying to buy the dip. And our highly aggressive day trading tool is not buying the dip. So if our day trading tool is not buying a dip, you could be sure that our investing approach, our investing ideas are not being put to work today. If we can't even get a day trading tool to get along the market, it tells you that the risk as calculated by our algorithm is way too high for the potential reward we might see. And so we don't trade. But I do expect a bounce. And as a human, I mean, I'd love to get out there and put some trades on because, you know, the NASDAQ is 100 is right on the 200-day moving average now. The S&P is right on the 200-day moving average. Small caps and mid caps knifed below the 200-day. So they're well below the 200-day moving average. So at some point in here, you'd expect a rally, but not seeing an opportunity yet on our intraday tools. And we might miss it today. There might just not be a trade for us. And it doesn't mean that you can't make money. The market might go up today, but it's not an acceptable risk. Armor Report, algorithmic risk management research. It's not an acceptable risk today. So we just relax and enjoy the cash position and do research. Get ourselves ready for the next intermediate term entry point, longer term entry point, and day trading entry points. So to conclude this segment of the show, all five of our major algorithms on the big indexes, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ 100, the small caps and the mid caps, are suggesting you've got to be holding cash. Put it to you this way, if we're managing money where all we do is invest in these five indexes using the algorithms, we would be 100% cash. That'll put it in perspective for you. And we have portfolios like that where all we do is use these big algorithms to put money to work. So we're 100% cash in those portfolios. And we're waiting now for our next opportunity. I have, you know, every day I like to release, you know, a rule from our rule book, Millennial Lessons, we call it. And really it's things I've learned over 30 years of doing this that really apply in the millennial market. And I had tweeted out, you know, rule number 12. You can follow me on Twitter again, at Brett Rosenthal or hashtag Armor Report. And I say, spend less time focusing on the why and spend more time focusing on the how-to when the market's moving. If you watch CNBC or any other financial network, I don't mean to pick on CNBC, but all day long as the market's going lower or higher for that matter, one interview after another is this scramble to figure out why the market's doing it. And while I understand that's what makes, good TV, okay, it does nothing to help me in an investment portfolio. All it does is create consternation. Investors get frozen. So much information coming at them. Who knows what the reasons are? I'll just do nothing. That's just not the way to run a portfolio. You need to manage your risk. Over the last 13 days, you've been raising cash. Market's collapsing yesterday, today. Who cares? Great. We got cash. Now we're going to look for opportunities. So spend less time worrying about it. I heard stories today, reasons for the sell-off, inflation data, the Fed and their behavior. I can't believe I heard one guy talk about China and trade war, which is ridiculous. We all know that story's been out since July and markets skyrocketed July, August, and September. There's only one piece of information that I thought was useful and interesting that I heard this morning. And that was, I can't remember who said it, but the biggest buyer in the market by far this year has been corporations buying back their own stock. And we're in a vacuum period. At the end of each quarter, there's a quiet period before earnings are released and buybacks are stopped until earnings or releases come out. And so for about a three-week window at the end of or beginning of each new quarter, the biggest buyer in the market is not in there buying anything. And so when the sell-off gets started, there's just all those programs that are buying back stock of all these companies, they're just not there. And now welcome to the millennial market. The millennial market is very thin when the market starts to go down. And I'll discuss that on another day. But you just don't have market makers like you used to pre-2008. New York Stock Exchange is a ghost town now. There's not specialists in there. There aren't guys whose job it is, you know, to make markets and create liquidity. So when things start to go awry, everyone, you know, all the rats leave at once. Rats being high frequency trading algorithms. And it just, you know, feeds on itself. There's just no volume and boom, the market implodes. And I thought the one piece of news I heard today that sounded valid is that the biggest buyer in the market, which is stock buybacks, cannot buy back in the next 3 weeks while they release earnings. But I don't really care what the why is. You see what I'm saying? It's fun to talk about it, but it doesn't make us any money. What made us money was telling you to raise cash 13 days ago and telling you to raise cash on the 5th and telling you to raise cash 3 days ago. That protected your capital, and now you've got cash to put to work. Let me drill down a little bit more now, and let's talk about putting cash to work. Where are we going to put it on our trading desk? Well, first of all, we have these algorithms for the main indexes that we highlight on our homepage, rosenthalcapital.com. You'll see our risk monitor, where I try to update that as fast as I can. And of course, yesterday things were, you know, crazy. We were doing a lot of there's a lot of activity on our desk, so I had to do that at the end of the day. But as soon as I can, I update for you if there's a big change coming. And I told you at lunchtime yesterday there probably was a big change coming if things got worse. So I assume you all knew that was going to be a change by the close. And the S&P, we were completely out of the market. But we also have algorithms designed for the groups. So what we like to do on our trading desk is build a whiteboard of themes, which we invest in themes by buying exchange-traded funds that cover those themes. And then on the whiteboard also goes individual stocks that are that express those themes as well. And our algorithm helps manage risk for those investments as well. So if you go back and look and listen to our podcasts at the bottom of our homepage, you'll see on the 1st of October, and we had been long the biotech stocks for a while, and it had a real nice run. And on the 1st of October, I tweeted, we talked about it on the show, we were out of the biotechs. We had booked our profit in the biotechs. IBB was trading at 121.47 on the 1st of October. IBB is trading at 110 today, 110, down from 121.47. We also, if you remember, there was a couple of days in there, I think last week, 2 weeks ago, where we talked about the semiconductor index. And I kept telling you that on the whiteboard was the semi stocks. We wanted to own the semi stocks. And yet at the end of each day, I had to tweet out and talk about it the next day. We just couldn't get long because the algorithm wouldn't let us get long. Kept us out on the 2nd of October when it looked like maybe it was time to get into semis. The algorithm said, sorry, you can't do it. The SOX was trading at 188. SOX today is at 169. And just recently, a couple days ago, I was talking about what are the best indexes out there, which, you know, are weathering the storm the best. And one I highlighted were the defense stocks. I said, look, we're still long this index and it's working great. But at the end of the day, I tweeted out we had to sell those defense stocks. ITA is the symbol, Indian Tango Alpha. We sold it $213 a share. ITA is trading at $203. So those are just some examples of how the algorithms work, even on group investments. So what we're doing on our trading desk now, having booked profits in the defense stocks, having booked profits in the biotech stocks, is that we're holding cash and building up the whiteboard again so we can figure out where we want to put capital on the next go-round. At the top of the leaderboard has to be the cannabis stocks. And that is the only group that we're still long in our portfolio. Our, you know, portfolios where we have higher risk and we're investing in groups. So the way we manage capital on this desk is there's three separate ways that we do this with investors we work with. We have portfolios that are only big indexes. So the top five indexes using algorithms. Those are 100% cash. And then we have the top five indexes and industry group ETFs. And that's all cash but MJ. We still own MJ, although we've booked more than half our gain there from the original entry point on August 15th. And that is the single best performing index. It's incredible, really. But maybe it's not, because if you think about it, in a bear market, the best place to hide money has always been consumer staples. And utilities. But consumer staples like tobacco and alcohol, stuff that people have no matter what's going on in the world. Cannabis has joined that group. So now you have a combination of a growth stock, growth index idea, because there's a boatload of money pouring into the cannabis space, and a market that favors stocks like tobacco, alcohol, and marijuana. Things that don't get affected by trade deals with China or interest rates that are going up or recessions. It's a powerful cocktail for these stocks. It's going to be the first place we go when we put money back to work. We've got our core position still on. We're going to be tripling and quadrupling that position when we have the right entry point. And then we're going to drill down into that space and buy our favorite stocks in that space. And if you want to get an idea of what stocks those can be, just go to ETF.com, put in MJ as a search, pull up what stocks are in that portfolio, and start doing your own homework. You know, you might have a different idea of what you want to chase after. You know, what kind of risk tolerance you have will depend on what stocks you buy. On the one side of the coin, you could buy Constellation Brands, right? Because they're killing it. They're killing it. They're just, they made a $4 billion investment in Canopy. And on the conference call, they had to, you know, tell everybody they had $1 billion gain off of that investment, along with the fact that their core business is blowing out, which is Corona, and Corona Premium apparently is having a great run. It's a new product. That's a conservative way to play cannabis. Canopy, CGC, the one that Constellation Brands is investing in, that's another conservative way to play cannabis. And then there's, you know, aggressive plays that you got to be very careful with. I think one that looks interesting for aggressive portfolios, although I'm not buying it yet and I'm not telling you to do that. You've got to do your own homework. But I think new age beverage, very interesting idea. Those of you who made a fortune on a stock called Monster, which was an energy drink company, will remember that run. The CEO of this company ran Cott. Cott was taken over. It was another beverage company, specialty beverage. He also ran InBev's business. So the guy really knows the beverage space. And it's a very interesting little company. Worthwhile to do some research on that right now. Get yourself ready. And of course, some of my old favorites now have come down a lot. I mean, we had to book our profits in IBM, and it's getting drilled right down into its buy zone again. So time to look for another entry point in IBM. And they announced earnings on the 16th. Stock's off a lot. So now the reward versus risk is starting to look interesting. Nobody expects them to have a good quarter. Geez, what if they do? Could be interesting. And I really like the idea. You know, in this market, I'm looking for dividend plays. I'm looking for places to protect capital and still create a yield. And I, you know, we had a real nice run in KKR because they switched from the LP style of a corporation into a corporation. the structure of their company. And what that does is when you're an LP, pension plans cannot own it, and indexes won't put an LP in the index. When you turn into a corporation, pension plans can now own it, and it can go into the indexes. And so it's very simple to understand why KKR stock went up so much. Once they switched from an LP to a corporation, there was a lot more demand for the stock and the same amount of supply for the stock. And at the end of the day, stock prices are all about supply and demand. So, you know, there's talk that BX, which is Blackstone, which is just the same kind of business as KKR, is going to be switching from an LP to a corp. You know, the stock pays a 6% yield right now. You get a buy signal there, I'm going to want to own it and collect that 6%. And if they ever follow the path of KKR, we're going to have a big capital gain and a nice dividend socked away in the portfolio. So there's a couple of ideas for you. And I just want to end today on this note, kind of wrap up. You know, there's really no reason to be a buy and hope investor when you have millennial tools like algorithms to help you manage your risk. You can hold a certain part of your portfolio that you think you want to hold long term. People talk about taxes, and those are the reasons to hold long term. What I would say to that is, it's true, the government takes its percentage, but it's also true that the market takes it all. Round tripping a stock is a sacrilege. Should never be done. Should never be done. Hiding behind the argument that I don't want to pay taxes. That is a ridiculous argument. You could have paid taxes on a big capital gain, or you could watch the capital gain go to zero. Do you feel better now? Now you've lost all your gains. How does it feel? Well, gee, at least I didn't pay the government. Terrible reason to make a decision. If you buy right and you're in a big uptrend, and the stop that you use has a cushion so you can let it keep running, sometimes you get long-term. Sometimes the asset's right, you buy it right, and it goes through the roof. Look, we still have a core position in MJ. I might have that for a year. We bought it so cheap. We put our stop at a certain place that guarantees we make money on the investment, but not a tight stop because I want to see if I can make that thing last. But there's no way I'm going to let the concerns about the government getting a piece stopping me from protecting assets if the whole market's imploding. Buy and hope is never the right investment approach. And the reason is this. Even if you get lucky over a 3-5 year period and you get all smug and you think, hey, look at me, I bought and held and this thing really works, you run into a brick wall of 2008 and you keep refusing to sell because you're like, I'm a buy and holder. I'm a buy and holder. And I've been doing this 30 years, better than 30 years. I've been working with investors for over 30 years. And I can tell you, there are very few investors that can make it through the type of sell-off that goes on every X amount of years, like 2008. Or 2000, 2001. And so they think they're buy and holders until they've gotten wiped out of their gains. And now they're taking losses and they can't stand it and they sell right at the bottom. I'd like to save you that pain. Use algorithms to manage your risk and invest with intelligence, not emotion. Have a good day trading. I'll talk to you tomorrow.